ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now is Tom Shad. Tom covers the team for the Washington Post. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Tom_Shad, S-C-H-A-D. He's been in town for a few months now. We had him on the show a few months ago before the season started. So I'm going to start with a question that I asked callers on the show yesterday. Is the season salvageable? And by salvageable, I mean make the playoffs or at least, at the very least, go to the final week of the season needing a win to get into the postseason.
Sure. I mean, I think I'll view that question in a very logical kind of statistical way and say, yeah, it is salvageable. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things about how the season has unfolded so far is that it's gone really contrary to what the expectation was. I think, you know, everybody thought that this upcoming stretch was going to be a really difficult one, and it still is, but that the Commanders would be at a different spot, you know, like right. They would have a whatever 5-2 record at this point as opposed to being 3-4. That said, there's still, I mean, 10 games left. There's a long way to go, and we've seen so much parity across the league so far this year. So, I mean, maybe it's a little bit rose-colored glasses, but sure. I mean, I think it is salvageable. I think you do have to get at least one win in this stretch, though, these next couple games. And if you don't, then I think you reach a point where, yeah, even though on paper the stats might say you have a 5% chance or whatever, I think it's basically a wrap.
You know, it's so I agree with you. We both watched a lot of NFL, and this league changes so quickly on a dime. It's so week to week. But I was thinking about it, Tom, from this perspective after the show yesterday. I was like, if I were in another market, you know, doing an NFL segment, and we were doing, you know, who's alive and who isn't, and Washington's name came up, I would say, of course they're alive. They've got Jaden Daniels, a quarterback. And that's the way I view it. Now, he's got to be healthy. He's got to play for them to do it. But we saw him strap the team to his back a year ago, and they won 12 regular season games. They're not going to win 12 this year, more likely than not. I was trying to be as objective as I could be, like looking at it as an NFL segment from, you know, Chicago. And I would say, yeah, of course. And I do feel the fan sentiment right now, which is the season's in peril. If the season did go south and it wasn't because Jaden missed a lot of games, what would the reason be?
I mean, I think, and this is kind of a boring answer, and maybe a cop out, but the injuries are just so devastating and piling up, and the fact that they've lost so many, not just starters, but really like linchpin guys through the first 7 weeks, and Dorrance Armstrong is just the latest example.
Yeah.
I think that's like, you know, if you look back on this season and things don't work out, it'll be easy to kind of chalk it up to to injuries. I mean, beyond that, I think you're just looking at a team that, again, if things kind of continue trending in the wrong direction, it's just a little bit of pressing. I think, you know, you start to see like, and again, it all kind of plays back to the expectations coming in and how well they did last year. You know, when things start slipping, I think everybody is just trying to do a little bit more to make that big play and, you know, try to win like three games on one play. And you see that kind of across the board on defense. Joe Witt has called it, you know, guys trying to put capes on or whatever. That's where a lot of the issues I think have come up there. And then on the offensive side too, you know, we've seen Jaden or even Marcus Mariota, you know, in coming into the game last week, just try to do a little bit too much to make that big play. And so
that's such a smart observation, because I think sometimes, like, I'll give you an example in game, because I think there's an in-game context where pressure builds and a season context. Like in the game, if Jaden doesn't get hurt and they go down, they finish that drive and it's 27-22, the game context changes. And we see that in a lot of games, right? You know, scores that get sideways, but really it wasn't that kind of a game. And in season, you lose a third straight on Monday night, you still may have the capability of turning it around, but man, does the pressure get ratcheted up and the context around that next game against Seattle. By the way, Seattle coming off a bye week, Washington on a short week heading into that Sunday night game. It's like all of a sudden you got to win that game, and it just changes the context of it. We're talking to Tom Shad from the Washington Post. So, you know, defensively, they're a mess right now. Dan Quinn pushed off with you guys on Monday, pushed off the conversation about, you know, everything being in play. We're going to look at everything being on the table. What do you think he's going to tell all of you when he meets with you on his next opportunity, media-wise, on Thursday, when you guys ask him, you know, so you looked into it, you dug into it. What are you going to do about the defense? What's he going to say?
If I had to guess, his answer will be something about fundamentals and getting back to basics. And you know, truth be told, I don't think that's a terrible answer or approach. You know, I think the knee-jerk reaction from fans is to blow everything up. You know, they want to see, like, Joe Witt gone, or they want to see some new, you know, exotic kind of blitz package. But, like, so many of their issues just come down to, like, guys not doing what they're supposed to do, which, again, is very boring. And on some plays, it's just like one person or two people who appear to be, you know, out of position or missing a tackle or what have you. So I think, you know, the easiest course of action, like, you can't bring in like a bunch of new defensive linemen, right? You know, you're not going to like trade for, you know, an entirely new defensive line or new corners or, you know, whatever. So I think the best route is basically just to simplify to a certain extent what you're doing. And maybe you pull back a little bit and you just make sure that, you know, if you're going to call like a pretty vanilla defense, that everybody knows 100% what their responsibilities are and they're in the right place 100% of the time. And if you're able to do that, then at least, you know, you limit some of the explosive plays. Ideally, you're in better position to make some of these tackles and you get the defense. You kind of like stop the bleeding, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if you thought that would be the answer when after the game he said, unprompted, really, yeah, we're going to look at everything. Everything's on the table now. Because that, I think everybody's ears perked up. He was ticked off, about as ticked off as he can get, as much as I've seen, you know, watching all these press conferences since he got here. You were, I think, in the building, so you saw it too. But I thought, yeah, you know what? Maybe a significant personnel change or two is coming. And certainly, you know, it's not just fan reaction. I've wondered, and I don't think he would do anything with Joe Witt, but maybe something as easy as bringing him down from the booth to be on the sidelines and call plays. We saw that with Zach Robinson for the Washington game with Michael Penix Jr. He came from the booth down to the field. I just wonder if he's contemplating anything related to the coaching staff or anything related to significant personnel changes. And it sounds to me like you think he probably doesn't land there.
That would be my guess. And again, it's more of a guess, really. But I think you were talking about him kind of post-game. I mean, he was peeved. And I think a lot of the, you know, everything being on the table talk, I think part of it, I guess I should say, is a little bit heat of the moment. You know,
sure.
He's got to be just absolutely livid being a defensive-minded head coach. This is, you know, what they want to, like, build their entire team philosophy and identity on, and then you just kind of fall apart for a second consecutive week. So I think some of that was maybe heat of the moment. And then you take a step back, kind of a clear-eyed view, and you go, okay, what can we realistically do here? You know, in terms of him, like, or Joe Witt, you know, coming down to the sidelines or something. I mean, I think one tweak you could see is maybe he's just going to get a little bit more, Dan Quinn, I mean, get a little bit more involved in the defensive conversations. And we did ask about that after the game. He said he's always on the headset. He's always involved, that kind of stuff. I mean, I do think, though, again, as a defensive-minded head coach, you know, how the defense plays is to a certain extent a reflection of his ability and him as a head coach. And so I think you could see him get a little bit more involved maybe in the game planning or maybe on game day in terms of, you know, helping kind of chart what they want to do there.
I asked you if the season was salvageable. Is the defense salvageable at this point?
I mean, I
don't even know what that means, by the way. I'm going to make it up right now. Like, it goes from being truly dreadful at this point to, I don't know, maybe getting a few takeaways here and there and making at least a small contribution to winning in a game.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, I don't think this is a top 10 defense.
well, we know that. Yeah.
I think, yeah. So I think if that's your idea of salvageable, then no. Can it be like a middle of the road defense? Sure. And I think, you know, the turnover piece, to a certain extent, that's got to be bad luck. You know, like, not a lot of teams go 5 of 7 games without forcing a turnover. And so I think, you know, you're going to have some instances where even if the defense doesn't do anything to create a turnover,
there's a random bounce of the ball that goes their way.
Right. And so I think that's going to help. And again, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier with, like, pressing and pressure. Once you know, if Pat Mahomes just, like, throws the ball aimlessly to Trey Amos, now suddenly the defense is feeling better about itself because it created a turnover,
right.
even if they didn't do anything specific to do it. So I think you're going to have some of that as the season goes along. And I think you're going to see some stabilization, I would think, in terms of, you know, limiting explosive plays and better tackling. And again, I think they're just really going to harp on, you know, do not allow anybody to run by you, go over the top, whatever. Maybe they'll allow, you know, more stuff underneath. But will it be like a top 10 defense? No, especially with the injuries. I think you can aim for maybe a top, you know, 15 to 20 defense or something, and they can get there as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think that's awfully aspirational. I mean, that's very, very aggressive. But, you know, something you just said is so true, right? It's like every time I think about these games in advance, it's like, you know what? The quarterback's going to put one or two up for grabs. You got to catch it. And if you catch it, you're just going to feel so much better about things. And it's like, oh, my God, we got a takeaway, even if it wasn't forced. Most aren't. You know, most are mistakes by the offense. And it would be nice if they got a couple of those, because it could absolutely change. Because they got to be feeling it right now, confidence-wise. I mean, they are on their heels in every one of these games, and there are very few good plays in a couple of the games here recently. All right, let's flip it to offensively. Do you expect Terry and Debo to play Monday night, and who's going to play quarterback?
Okay, a lot of things. Terry, to me, is still TBD. I mean, I think the sense last week was that he was getting closer to playing, but given the fact that he hasn't been a full participant in practice yet, it's hard to say until we really get into Thursday or Friday. And my kind of default stance at this point is, you know, let's wait and see until he's actually a participant at practice. So it would not surprise me if he plays, but I also would not expect him to play either. That's just me personally. Debo, I think there is a better expectation that he will be out there. It had been described at one point, I think, as a bruise, like a significant bruise on his heel. So, you know, hopefully with a long period of rest here, that will have healed up some and he can be out there. And then with Jaden, Again, a little bit of a cop out. I know they said good news with the MRI not showing anything long term, but as we've seen, you know, across the league with other quarterbacks, hamstrings are tricky, man. You know, and you really got to be careful, especially given that it's, you know, the right leg and he's already dealing with something on the left leg. You don't want to be in a situation where he's overcompensating on the one leg to offset, an injury on the other leg. So, I don't know. He's kind of in the same boat as Terry is with me, where it's, you know, let's wait and see if he's actually a full participant at practice. But that's a really, really tricky one, just because if you run it back out there too soon, you risk it being something that lingers into the rest of the season. And then you want to talk about, you know, seasons being salvageable or what it, you know, means moving forward. I mean, you could really be in trouble if this is something that doesn't go away for him.
Yeah, agreed. It's not a pain tolerance thing like it was with the rib last year. This is soft tissue and can lead to other things for sure. So on Terry, what's the issue? Is it just a really serious quad injury that's just going to, you know, continue to linger? What's going on there?
I have no idea. Yeah, it's, I think it's been really difficult to suss out with all the different reports in terms of what exactly the injury is. And then I think it's also important to remember that you're dealing with a guy who hasn't had to deal with a lot of injuries, right? And so, you know, with a soft tissue thing, a lot of it is, it's the doctors believing that you're okay to go, but then it's also like, how do you personally feel and what's your level of confidence to push it. And again, talking about pressure, like, you know, I'm sure Terry is, you know, would say that he's tuning out all of the discourse around, you know, the contract and what fans are saying and whatever, but you have to believe that is weighing on him a little bit, you know, to be like kind of
the
spotlight. Well, I just mean to be like the spotlight of attention for the bulk of the off season, certainly all of training camp. And then, you know, you finally get your contract situation sorted out and now's the time to go ball out and then you have something pop up. I mean, I think it's a tough spot to be in, right? I think anybody would be hearing kind of those things that are being said and feel some pressure. And so I think mentally it would be a really tricky spot to be in where, you know, you want to get back out there, but you don't want to go back too soon and risk exacerbating the injury, kind of like what I was talking about with Jaden. So I don't know how much of it is, you know, physical and something that's lingered, mental, a combination, or if it's like specific things that he's having trouble with. I mean, part of the issue here is that he hasn't been available to speak to the media for a month. So there's a lot of just kind of us trying to read tea leaves, I guess, and a lack of clarity there that makes it hard to suss out.
Yeah, I think, you know, you are hinting at something that I think, you know, is in play here. There's a lot going on with this particular injury. And I was actually thinking, and this is probably a bit too, sinister thinking, for the lack of a better description, that after the wide receiver performance on Sunday in Dallas, that, you know, he's got to feel like, okay, you guys see what it looks like without me. I'm coming back Monday night, you know, against Kansas City. Like when they got thumped the way they got thumped, I thought to myself, I think he's going to be back Monday night. This is the perfect opportunity. Now, it's the wrong opponent, you know, and maybe without Jaden, it's really the wrong opponent. But, you know, point proven in his mind, they're not that anybody needed to say it, they're better with him than without him. And I think he wants to feel that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think don't, not to get me wrong here, I think he would want to be out as soon as humanly possible. I guess that's kind of the broader point that I was trying to make, is that given everything that happened in training camp, you know, he's probably been itching to come back, but it's this tricky thing, especially with the soft tissue injury of, you know,
right,
when is too soon versus when is the right time.
Yeah. And if he comes back too soon, he's not going to look like himself, and that's going to put more pressure on him because people won't get it, etc. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, but yeah, I mean, they certainly need him to your point. As Sunday showed, they certainly need him out there, and he would be a welcome addition if you got him and Debo back. You know, even if Jaden doesn't play, I think you have a shot. You have a fighting chance.
Well, they certainly need one of them back. They can't be without both of them. That's for sure. We're talking to Tom Shad. So, big picture, when you look at it, I think you said they got to get one of the next. Did you say one of the next three?
Yeah, I mean, that would be my take.
Yeah, I think somehow, some way, by the time they get to December, they just got to be 6-6. So they've got to get to where they're 3-2 over these next five games. And I think that's in play. I mean, these are difficult offensive teams, with the exception of Miami, to go against a reeling defense right now. But I think 3-2 getting to December at 6-6 versus 5-7 is important, because I'm sure you spent a lot of time with it. It sounds like you do. I mean, the NFC, you're not getting to a wild card spot without 10 wins. Last year, 10 wasn't enough. You know, 11 was the 7 seed with Green Bay. And so the division is where you got to kind of stay in the hunt. You agree?
Yeah, no, totally. I think you just, and again, I view it in part, maybe I've just been doing too much reporting on momentum, but I view it in large part as a mental thing, right? You know, if you're sitting at 5-7 going into December, I think you kind of realize, if you're in that locker room, that it's a long shot, right? As opposed to being 6-6 or 7-5 or whatever, where now you really have something to play for. And the other thing that I would just throw in there too, is I think, you know, we're having this conversation totally in the, you know, we're just talking about Washington, right? We're just thinking about Washington, like, in a vacuum. That's the important thing to think of too, as the season goes along, is that, like, all of this unpredictable stuff that has happened injury wise with Washington can happen to any of these other teams,
of
right?
Course.
Or, you know, these other teams can fall into a funk or whatever. And so that's
no doubt
the other piece, where, like, you look at the schedule now and you're like, oh gosh, they got this Denver game. That's going to be really tough. Well, who knows, you know, where Denver is going to be exactly, injury-wise or otherwise, when you get to that game, right? So, still a long ways to go, but yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the 6-6.
No, you view it the same way I do. I talk about it every year. Looking at an NFL schedule in the offseason is ridiculous. You have no idea what those teams will look like. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. And look, they benefited a little bit playing the Chargers, as an example. When they played the Chargers, they were incredibly banged up, you know, along the offensive line. And Dallas benefited from playing Washington Sunday, with Washington having so many players on offense out. You're right. Yeah, you could get to Denver and Bo Nix could be out for the year, and they could be on a three-game losing skid, and, you know, all of a sudden you're a 9-point favorite at home. It's just the way the NFL works. One last question for you. Do you expect any activity for this team at the trade deadline, seller or buyer?
Oh boy, that's a great question.
We've only got one game to play before we hit it. Yeah.
I guess my short answer would be no, at least not in a significant way. And the reason I say that is because I think you're still kind of on this cusp where, you know, the playoffs are a possibility, but certainly not like a sure thing. There's also a possibility that you could be 3-7, but that's not a sure thing. I think it's just hard to make a move in either direction, given that they're kind of on the fence right now, and also given what they've done in terms of already giving up draft picks and kind of Adam Peters having a long-term view of building this thing. I think it's unlikely as of right now. Could that change a week from now? Sure. But as you ask me here on whatever it is, Wednesday morning.
They'll have two games. They'll have the Kansas City and Seattle games before the deadline. The deadline is Tuesday, November 4th, Election Day. Tuesday, November 4th is the deadline, and they'll have two more games in hand. And, they could be 3-6, and they could be looking to move somebody like Daron Payne, you know, for picks. Who knows? Thanks, Tom, for doing this. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Tom Shad, everybody, from the Washington Post, now covering the team, an AU grad. So he was here for a while. We talked to him about his background when he first got into town a month or so ago, maybe, @Tom_SCHAD. All right, when we come back, we'll do some NFL buy and sell. What are you buying right now in the NFL? What are you selling right now in the NFL? If you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980, we'll open up phone lines. I'll have a few buys and a few sells. Max will as well. A team, a player, a concept. I've got one that I'll be buying that has nothing to do with a team or a player in this year's season. We'll do that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, if you want to buy something in the NFL, 301-230-0980, you can sell something as well. It can be a player. It can be a team. I'm going to kick it off with something that is neither. By the way, as always, our NFL conversation on this show is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So, Mark Maskey reported on this. There were are league meetings going on in Manhattan, in New York. Troy Vincent, who's the NFL's executive vice president of football operations, has suggested to owners that the onside kick isn't working. They even tweaked the onside kick, allowing teams, once they've declared it, you have to declare it so there's no more surprise on onside kicks, players could line up a yard closer to where the kick happened. And it's 1-for-21 this year after going 3-for-50 last year. Some of those low numbers are the fact that the element of surprise is no longer there. But Troy Vincent essentially said to owners at league meetings yesterday, it's time to consider the 4th-and-15, 4th-and-20 alternative. I am buying that this is the last year we will watch NFL games with onside kicks. That next year, another major tweak to a special teams rule, just like the kickoff rule from the last 2 years, we will see teams have the option of a 4th-and-15 or a 4th-and-20, somewhere where they determine the odds are where they'd want the onside kick to be, which is not like 2%, but more like 12% of the time. So whatever that equals in terms of a 4th down and long, we're going to see that play. It'll start at the 25-yard line. Let me back up. So a team decides after a score, we want to, you know, go onside's kick, or we want to go with a play to retain possession of the football. And the option will be to go to a 4th and 15 somewhere between 4th and 15 and 4th and 20 from their own 25-yard line. One play. If they convert and it's a first down, they keep the ball wherever the ball ends up. It'll be like a real scrimmage play. That play will not include a clock, according to what the proposal was last year. It would be, I'm sorry, that play would include a clock. The two-point conversion, some of those alternatives would not include a clock. My fault. It would include a clock. It would be like a 4th and 15. If you get stopped, the team takes over wherever the ball is stopped. If it's an incompletion, it's at your 25-yard line. If it's a pass that gets stopped, you know, short of the sticks, the defense takes over, the defensive team takes over, puts their offense on the field there. If you convert it, you continue to go wherever the ball lands. So it's just replacing the onside kick, a play that's treated as a fourth down. I don't know what the exact number will be. They'll figure it out. They'll, you know, they want to get back to somewhere between a 10 to 13% rate on an onside kick. So whatever, you know, fourth and whatever that equates to, you know, conversion rates of, you know, somewhere around 13% is what they will shoot for. It could be like a 4th and 17 when it is all said and done. But I feel just like I do with the tush push. This will be the last year of the tush push, and this will be the last year of an onside kick. You will be able to run an actual play that will increase the odds significantly from where they are today that you could potentially retain possession. Because here's the thing the NFL doesn't want. The NFL doesn't want a team down 10 with 2 minutes to go, with no timeouts, to essentially have no chance to win the game. And that's what it is right now. They could kick a field goal, they could score a touchdown, but the chances of recovering an onside kick are slim and none. And they want more than just slim and none. I think we'll see that implementation next year. I'm buying that. Max, what are you buying?
So this is going to be a weird one because this team's already good, and we know that they're probably going to end up making the playoffs. I am buying the Indianapolis Colts to secure at least one playoff win with Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback. They have been legit. The way they run the ball is unreal. Jonathan Taylor is having an offensive player of the year caliber season. He could easily win the award. I need to look at the odds to see if there's any value there. I don't think there is, but I value nonetheless. I think Daniel Jones is going to lead the Colts to a playoff win and maybe even the AFC title game this season.
You know, right now, only the Chiefs and the Bills have better odds to win the AFC
That's
championship.
Crazy to me.
And it should be that way, you know, because first of all, there's not really a third team to focus in on after, you know, the perception of the Bills. You know, the Patriots have had, I saw Warren Sharp put this out, I think the easiest schedule
Cake.
To the start of an NFL season through seven games in the history of the league tracking it.
Yep. It's been, and the rest of the schedule is incredibly easy too.
Yeah.
Because
they are benefiting from a great schedule. I'm not, Sabah, relax. I'm not knocking Drake May. Drake May's been phenomenal and they've been able to take advantage of it. But it is the weakest schedule in the history of the league through the first seven games. And when all is said and done this season, based on the way it's trending, it may be the weakest schedule ever played by an NFL team. But still, I think people, the perception is Buffalo is still a team that is better if they get to the postseason. But Indy's got the biggest point differential in the league. They're averaging the most points per game. That's not nuts at all. They
no.
Look, right now, they're the favorite to be the one seed.
Which is insane. It's
so
crazy.
You know, the first game, if you say they're going to win at least one playoff game and they're the one seed, they're hosting AFC
the title,
championship
yeah.
game.
Wow. Will the roof be open, Kevin? That's another question. Is
not in January.
Who knows, man? If the ghost of Jim Irsay says to somebody that the roof will be open, they will open the roof. But you mentioned the Patriots, which leads me to another buy. I am buying the Patriots as the AFC East champions. I think they're going to win the division with that cake schedule. I think the Bills are probably going to drop a couple that they shouldn't drop, as they do every year and as they have kind of throughout the season with that Falcons loss. I mean, I know you called it right from the jump that the Falcons were going to get that win off the bye. But yeah, there are just going to be some losses that the Bills take that I think the public at large won't see coming. And the Patriots are just going to roll their easy schedule. Give me the Patriots winning the AFC East.
All right. Just relax on this one, everybody. It's another buy before I get to a sell. I'm buying that Kirk Cousins is going to end up starting games for the Atlanta Falcons this year and that it will go well. So Michael Penix Jr. got injured at the end of the Sunday night game against the 49ers. It's a bone bruise, and we'll find out today if he practiced. There is a chance Kirk could start against the Dolphins on Sunday. Michael Penix Jr. was one of my favorite quarterbacks in the draft. Those of you that have listened know that. I think he's going to be a really good NFL quarterback. He just looks the part to me. But he has struggled. He's riding the roller coaster of a young quarterback still trying to figure it out. He had an absolute horrendous game against Carolina. His best game of the year by far was against Washington. We saw it firsthand. He was lights out. Now, we also know that our defense is really bad. He was not good the other night, even before getting banged up. And the Falcons have a very talented football team. They are very talented at the skill position players. They've got a good offensive line. They've got a good defense. I don't think they're going to bail on him for performance, but I'm predicting that at some point, he, who has a very significant injury history, two ACLs in college, will end up getting injured enough for them to put old number 18, that's his number in Atlanta, back into the lineup. And with the weapons they have and the defense that they have, they did not have a good defense, Atlanta will be a player in the playoff race down the stretch with Kirk at the helm. He was injured last year when he got benched. I think most of you know that he started off, I mean, amazingly well. He threw for 530 against the Chiefs on a Sunday night, was on a roll, and then he injured his shoulder towards the middle of the season, and that's really what ended up costing him his starting opportunity late in the year. I've been told by people who know that he's very healthy and he's looked incredibly sharp. I've also been told that he is an incredible mentor for Michael Penix Jr. That's not a surprise to anybody that knows him, but the Atlanta Falcons with Kirk Cousins are battling for a playoff spot towards the end of this season. I just think Penix and his body, he takes some awkward hits, and I think they'll use one of these injuries as a chance to put Kirk in there because he has struggled at times for them. And really, that's a team with solid, competent, consistent quarterback play that could actually contend for that division. That's my other buy. I've got a sell. Do you?
I do. And it's kind of related to your buy that you had to kick off the segment. So the 4th and 15 onside kick rule. Well, the 4th and 15 play to supplement the onside kick. I'm not a fan, man. I think it makes it too gimmicky, XFL-ish. But what you can't... And I'm also just a big fan of special teams plays. Like, they're just... It's a unique part about football that is dying off, and I think we should preserve it in whatever way we can. So my alternative to this is just shorten the onside kick distance to 5 yards. Make it, because you line up players closer, it cuts down on the danger factor for injuries and stuff like that. And then it's only 5 yards. We see kickers nail it 5 yards all the time, bouncing it like... You know, getting the ball to kind of go end over end and then bounce up. Like, I feel like it's much easier to do for 5 than 10. So it's just.
Yeah, well, of course it is. But where are you going to allow the return team to line up? At 5 yards?
Yeah, they'd be 5 yards. You have to kick the ball 5 yards and then boom, get after it. Just go. Just
5 yards? Do you know what that would look like? The amount of distance there?
It would look ridiculous. It would look super short. Yeah. But
I've never heard that as a solution. I'm not knocking it. I'm open-minded to it, and I'm thinking through it. I don't know. I think what would happen there is that the percentages would skyrocket in terms of the recovery rate, that it would almost, you know, flip the script in terms of the way people feel.
Yeah.
Because then you'd be trying onside kicks all the time.
Well, then another thing that I just kind of popped into my head while we were talking about this, if you're a kicker doing an onside kick, why don't you just kick it as hard as you can
at the front row?
At the front row and have it bounce
back. And hopefully it bounces off. Somebody can't catch it. I've always thought that way. It seems like all the onside kicks we see now don't ever even make it to 10 yards.
No, and that's the other thing is like if they're not making it that far, you're getting a flag for the too short of a kick anyway. So you might as well just cut the distance down.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got a couple of sells. The first one is Justin Fields. Did you see what Woody Johnson, the owner, said about his quarterback that they paid $30 million for in the offseason? So Jets owner Woody Johnson came to the defense of his hire as head coach, Aaron Glenn, and said about the starting quarterback situation, because Tyrod Taylor came into the game for Justin Fields. Justin Fields legitimately, I got to pull up the actual stats here, legitimately has played two of the worst starting quarterback games back-to-back that you will ever see. The game that he had in London against the Broncos, we talked about it. It was honestly embarrassing. It was so awful. He was in that game, he was 9 of 17 for 45 yards. He got sacked 9 times in the game. I compared it to that Sam Howell game against Buffalo. Howell actually got sacked 9 times and also threw 4 picks in that game. That was probably one of the worst starting quarterback performances I had ever seen, only to be topped maybe by Justin Fields against Denver. And then against Carolina on Sunday, 6 for 12, 46 yards, sacked 3 times. He won't throw the football. He just refuses to throw the football. His QBR in the Denver game was 8. His QBR in the Carolina game was 11.3. And then they finally benched him with Tyrod Taylor. Woody Johnson said about Aaron Glenn's decision on the quarterback, he said, you know, if we could just complete a pass, it would look good. I mean, he threw Justin Fields under the bus. He said, it's hard when you have a quarterback with a rating that he's got. I mean, he has the ability, but something is just not jiving. You have to play consistently at that position, and that's what we're going to try to do for the remainder of the season. Look, we've seen quarterback resurrections so many times, you know, and there's so many of them playing right now and playing at a high level. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, you know, the list goes on and on of what we've seen in recent years. Justin Fields is just 26 years old. This is just his 5th season, and he's with an absolute horrible organization. I was a Fields fan coming out, but the things that people were concerned about with him at Ohio State, those things have been the issue. He can't process. He can't see it, and because of it, he won't fire it, and he gets sacked at an alarming rate. I think I'm selling Justin Fields, even though it'll come back 4 years from now. He will have gone through the Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay, you know, trek. Three teams in 3 years, and all of a sudden he's going to be starting for, you know, the Carolina Panthers, and he's going to be a star. Because he is certainly capable athletically, but I don't, man, these games, whew, he's lost all confidence of playing. Did you have anything else that you're buying or selling?
No, just the Bills as the AFC East champions. That would be another sell since I'm buying the Pats.
All right, Tony, go ahead. What are you buying? What are you selling?
Hey, Kevin, how you doing today, buddy?
What's up, Tony? How are you, man?
All right, my buy is DK Metcalf. He went from being an ultimate long deep threat to being the top run after the catch guy in the NFL. What a multifaceted receiver. Deserves every penny he makes.
He's a dominant take the game over type of receiver at times. There's no doubt. The physical part of his game, his size, the way he plays, his hands. He's a star receiver, no doubt. Love him, and he's got a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers that recognizes it.
He just let him eat, isn't he?
Yeah. What else you got?
Okay. I got two sales. My first sell is players worrying about – this kind of ties on with the DK Metcalf thing. Players worrying about what other players make. This is a new phenomenon in the NFL to me.
It's not that new.
I mean, that stuff gets you fired at your job, at my job.
It's not that new. Players have always, because of the agents, have always known and certainly competed with salaries and contracts.
They didn't say it publicly.
Well, thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. Let's go to Rodney. Rodney, go ahead. What are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm still buying into the structure of this team, the owner and AP. This team is incomplete. Last year set almost a ridiculous expectation for this season, because what you did last year doesn't translate to this year, i.e. all the injuries, the Lattimores of the world. Listen, this team, you can't treat this team like – you drunk going into a 7-Eleven, getting a burrito and warming it up so you won't run into the tree so you can, blow your high. I'm selling.
That was good.
I'm selling.
I know some people who have been there, for sure.
Hey, Kevin.
What?
Some of these fans act like they forgot 30 years of Snyder.
It's ridiculous.
Now, all of a sudden, Kevin, they are the expert GM / pro scout / defensive coordinator. Please, I'm selling the armchair fans. I'm specifically talking to them, and everybody has a right to their opinion. But can we make some gumbo soup and stop putting stuff in the microwave and not forget that the NFL is going to give you a harder schedule the next year if you go to the NFC Conference Championship game? That's all I got. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm looking for an email that I read on the podcast with Tommy yesterday. It was just a ripping to shreds Adam Peters. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, people. Did you forget last year? Like, he's been here 20 months. Ian sent me something on a DM too. It's just, he just so wants to be right about Adam Peters being a horrible GM. Peters sucks. He has so many misses. Coleman, Sinnott, Lattimore, every kicker, Von Miller, many cornerbacks, Noah B, Debo, all misses, old, injury-prone roster. Misses? Do you know what he acquired? Do you know what he had to put together? You're gonna give him a year?
You know the situation he walked into, Kev?
Yeah,
he had nothing.
Honestly, after 24 years of just utter disaster and chaos year in and year out, and terrible football teams in his first year as a GM. By the way, people are killing Quinn, too. In his first year as a GM and his first year as a head coach here, they went to the NFC Championship game. Okay, call it luck, call it hitting the inside straight, whatever you want to call it. They got there. It was the most joyous season this town has had for the football team in 34 years. And at 3-4, you want to move on? You want to kill Adam Peters when he acquired a cupboard that was so bare? Imagine just two of the four first-round picks. Let's just say Chase Daniel and Emmanuel Forbes are significant contributors on defense. You think it would be the same? How about just a couple of players from that era being, you know, significant right now for them? Duran is. Terry is. Come on, people. I mean, and again, I've gone through the list before. I can do it again. But in terms of last year, you're going to tell me that Frankie Louvu isn't a good player? You're going to tell me that Kinlaw hasn't played well this year? You're going to say that Bobby Wagner last year wasn't a significant reason that they ended up getting to where they got? Not as significant as Jaden. Does he get no credit for Jaden? Drafting Jaden? Does he get no credit last year for Sanristil's rookie year just because he's had a step back year this year? That doesn't mean he's done. The Tunsil trade is working out so far. There are a lot of hits, a lot of misses, but my God, if you're selling Adam Peters at this point, God help you after last year. The fan base after years of legitimately having a reason to be absolutely PO'd, and somehow this is worse. And maybe I'm hyperbolic in that part of the statement, but for some of you, I got an email from somebody yesterday who said, I'm done. Where is that one?
You mean the previous 25 years weren't enough, man?
Here it is from Cole. I can't do this anymore is the subject heading. Kevin, after another loss like this, especially with the JD5 injury, I seriously don't think I can be a fan of this team anymore. The team just gives you hope and just rips it away the following season. Are you out of...
Welcome to the NFL.
Are you kidding?
Welcome
seriously,
to sports,
seriously, last
dude.
Year bought this group 3 years. 3 years. And by the way, even if they didn't win 12-2 playoff games, there's no way at this point, 20 months into their tenure, that I'd be jumping ship. There is far more good with this group than not good. All right, up next, we will preview the Washington Wizards season. It begins tonight. Chase Hughes will join us.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.